Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Reading from the Sun-Times today, a teen girl was hospitalized in critical condition, struck by lightning Wednesday in Garfield Park. Folks heard a boom, they saw the lightning flash, then they heard screams. A portable defibrillator was used to try and save the girl. We'll hope and pray that she makes it. But it did make me wonder how competent or comfortable I would be if I were in a scenario where I had to use one of those things. We have one in the office here. So let's ask Christopher Powers, who is a paramedic in charge of field training for the Chicago Fire Department, about that. Hi, Chris. Thanks for giving us some of your time today.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you very much.
So help me with that. Those things are, in a situation like that, supposed to help me, a civilian, be able to use them, right?
Yes. They are generally geographically located, you know, in certain public buildings, and they're relatively easy to use. There's pretty straightforward instructions of obtaining and whatnot. Yeah.
Before you walk me through that, how would I even know that I need to use it? I mean, I need to use that on someone whose heart has stopped beating, correct?
Correct. So you would find the person without a pulse, not breathing, and unresponsive, and then you would attach the defibrillator.
Okay, stop right there, because if I saw a person unconscious and maybe not breathing, but maybe they are, maybe here's my worry, that their heart is in fact beating and I'm too stupid to know. Will it be pretty apparent to me that I need to use this thing?
Well, the machine would not advise a shock, even if they had a normal heart rhythm. The way these machines are designed is they would not advise a shock on a person that had a pulse or a rhythm.
Really? So when I do whatever you're about to tell me to do, it'll first check for me the heartbeat of that person. It'll help me know if in fact I need to use this.
Correct. It'll determine whether or not that's what we call a shockable rhythm or a non-shockable rhythm.
Okay, so I open up this device. I mean, I break the glass or pull it out of its contraption there. What does it look like? What happens? What do I do?
It generally is going to be like almost like a large laptop or a large computer type looking device. It's going to have pads inside of it. It'll have an on button. You would then bring it to the individual who is unresponsive and who you think may not have a pulse or is not breathing. You would then attach it. There will be directions on how to attach what we call pads. So there's like pads on there. They're adhesive type pads that you put on the chest. And you would follow the prompts at that point. So once it detects the pads are on, the computer will analyze what that person's heart rhythm is. If it advises for a shock, it will tell you to clear, and it will tell you to press the shock button. If it is a manual type defibrillator, if it's a completely automated one, it will shock on its own. It will then, a lot of them will also advise you when to begin, like CPR, or when to advise, like perhaps calling in an event. And a lot of these, when they are withdrawn from their holster in like a public setting, they also set off an alarm. And so that alarm gets then sent to like the alarm dispatch center, 911 center, and then, you know, crews are responded with that alarm as well.
What a good idea. Am I in any danger? Am I going to get shocked myself?
No, the software, the computer will tell you to stay clear. So all of them will say stand clear, or stay clear while the shock is delivered. So it gives you a loud, audible stand clear or stay clear tone.
And somebody told me that these prompts that you're telling me about actually are verbal prompts, that the machine talks to me. Is that true?
Correct. It speaks. So it'll say stay clear or shock advised, you know, press shock button, stay clear.
And when I put the pads on, are there two pads that I put on the chest of the person?
Yes, there's going to be two pads. Most will have, all of them will have like adult pads. Some of them have pediatric pads as well. And you will apply the pads as instructed on the packaging. So the packaging will tell you where to place the pads. And each pad, when you pull it out of the package, it'll tell you where that pad is supposed to go.
And there are two of them, right? So somewhere on the chest, left of the breast, right of the breast, something like that?
So Yeah, in general, it's going to be placed, the one pad will be placed on the right side of the chest, the upper part, and then one to the lower left part of the chest on the lower portion.
And then say it works. Well, say it doesn't work. I mean, what happens then? So you hit shock and it delivers a jolt to the person. Hopefully it starts their heart. If it doesn't, do you do it again?
So in general, you will follow the prompts on the device, but most of them will advise that at that point, if the shock doesn't work, it will then say begin CPR, right? And if people are trained in CPR, they can simply get on the chest and begin chest compressions. And for the public, you know, there's many resources out there where people can learn how to do just compressions only CPR. Yeah. So there's no mouth-to-mouth involved, just compression. So that's how the machine will work. Or it may advise us to check for a pulse. It just depends on the type of device that it is.
I think a lot of us know that we should know how to do CPR, and we don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. But, you know, AHA is a great resource people can go to. They can look up AHA online, and they have, you know, different training centers throughout this area, Chicagoland area, where people can go in and learn how to do, you know, just a basic hands-only CPR.
Is there...
And a lot of...
Go ahead. Finish that thought, Christopher.
No, a lot of studies just show that just doing good, high-quality chest compressions and early AED use is the key to survival for most patients that have an out-of-hospital cardiac arrest.
And if I'm not competent as for doing that manual CPR, basically I'm pushing on their chest and I'm using some cadence, right?
Yeah, I mean, essentially it boils down to, you know, I mean, it would be, you know, the lower half of the breastbone. You would press down for an adult around 2 inches, 2.5 inches. And you're going to try and go to the, you know, a beat of around 100 to 120 beats a minute.
Wow.
And a lot of times what they'll say is, you know, the staying alive song.
Right.
And so doing that gets your cadence you're looking for.
This has been very helpful, Christopher. I hope I don't need this, but I hope that if I come upon someone, I'll feel a little more comfortable now. What's the website you said people could go to?
I mean, if they want to look up for hands-only CPR, I mean, in the AHA, you can do a quick search of American Heart Association.
Yeah.
They have, you know, different training, you know, information on that in the Chicagoland area, different training sites and stuff.
Thanks for doing what you do, Christopher Powers, paramedic in charge, field training officer for the Chicago Fire Department. We appreciate your time today, Chris.
Thank you.